last week that both Carl and Rick didn't know what they're going to talk about, and they came up with the same subject about seed. Today, so far, the message is about hearing the Lord, obeying, and talking about joy. Let me put this up first, Carol. Let me see if I can find it again. Jeremiah 20. In the Old Testament, this is God talking to the Israelites when God pulled them out of Egypt, when he pulled us out of our old nature. He's saying, this is the only thing he's commanded, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and we shall be his people, and he shall walk in the ways that I have commanded, that it may be well unto you. So Bill, when you are speaking, not knowing if it's the Lord or not, you're hearing. Be obedient to the call. All of us are called into that. Jesus said, I give you two new commandments, is to love God the Father with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love each other as I have loved you. But the thing is calling and hearing. So the demonstration is, in today's day and age, we're walking around and that phone rings, that cell phone rings, and people ignore you and they pick up the cell phone. My boss walks around with the Bluetooth in his ear looking straight at me and he's having a conversation with somebody else. And I can't tell because he's looking right at me, but his mind, he's talking. So that's the technology point. When God speaks to us, for me, it's a quiet voice. As Elijah said, I'm the only one left, right? We all feel that way. We're the only ones left hearing God and doing his will, and we're being persecuted, or we just come against these obstacles in our life. How do I come up with money for the container? Well, if you weren't being blessed, you wouldn't have gotten those phone calls about the abundance that is being drawn into your ministry, that people are reaching out and they're giving you more and more than you can possibly handle. The Lord will provide. He does provide. But he says, if you hear my voice and obey it, and at times, and I know from personal experience, when I hear from the Lord, it's like, really? I can't. And that's the key. I can't. We can't. It's only trusting the Lord, knowing his voice, the sound of the voice, and when he calls, pick up the phone. Right? And obey what he's saying. And if we don't know what, if it's the Lord is, he asks, this morning, Sam asked, pray for wisdom. We can hear that. If we don't know what the Word of God says, we would never know what he's speaking to us, if it's true or not. The Father of all lies is in the side. He's not in the foreground. He's on the side whispering to us, like, is it really the Lord? You can't do this. You can't do that. And once again, that's the truth. We can't. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. Same token, we're pressing into the Father. Phone rings. Oh, it's a temptation. Oh, hang up the phone. Discern what the voice of the Lord is for you. Press into him. If it's something that he's stretching us on, ministry, a relationship, trusting in him, if he's a really the true and living God, and we still have some of that deep-rooted fear and anxiety, ask. Unforgiveness. We've been forgiven. We have been forgiven. So I'm going to jump. I'm trying not to jump ahead because the Lord has brought props. Sam had asked for what the word was going to be this morning. And the word is abide. And the pictures are coming up. Just as a bud and a flower, fruit, abides on the plant. Have you ever seen it struggle like to do that? Can you see a flower or fruit just clinging on to that vine so it can grow? When we first started ministry, somebody came in and they blessed us with this photograph, well, painting. It's someone clinging to the cross. It's graphic. And I have never been at peace with this painting. Not because it's we're clinging to Jesus, but if you cling that hard without realizing we've been forgiven and we have a new life, and Jesus says, if you abide in me and I in you, all right, and that'll be the teaching later on, wouldn't that loosen that grip. I'm not being discourteous to Jesus Christ, but if our hands are just on Christ, saying, go back to that time I was forgiven, all right, and can never take my hands off of that, if I can't take my mind off of that, if I keep on going back, that's what Christ has done. He's done so much more. And that picture, he's reached down to that lost sheep. Out of that canyon, the one, he left the 99 to the side. He picked up that one. So it has life. And that life isn't for the rest of our life going back to that single point in time that we all been there and been delivered from. He wants to let us know there's more. My love for you is more than taking you out of that pit. I've given you eternal life. Now, would it be a shame for all eternity to be on our knees clinging to that moment of life where we came to Christ? That's the starting point. It says we're going to be talking for all eternity about worshiping the Lord. And our lives are going to be an example. Our lives will be a sacrifice for those to see. So when we're abiding in the Lord, he flows through us. Maple, sugar, and thyme. If we could say, he's the sap that comes through. And we're abiding in him. It's his strength. It's his anointing. It's his power that flows through us. Because we can't do anything else except to abide in him, being that vine. Wow. And there's joy in that. There is joy in that. We may put ourselves in self-condemnation and just bring him back where we were. I was such a wretch. Yes, we all were. We all were at one time. But I'm looking at this room, and I see how the Lord has engrafted Richard and Marjorie into Karen, Sam and Katie, Charlena. Either he loves us that much, or he has such a sense of humor that he has engrafted each of us. Who could imagine that we would be sitting in the same building worshiping the one true living God a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, and for some of us, 20 years ago? That's abiding in the Lord, allowing his life to flow through us. We can give up our life. We don't have to cling to him. We cling, we abide. That's a better word versus clinging. To allow him to do his purposes in our lives. And it's not just for our life. It's for the seeds we will produce. It's for the fruit that's going to produce. And it's going to be the seeds and the fruit that the next generation will produce. So in the end is, are we going to trust in the Lord? Because he has so much trust in us that he's gone through different corners of the world to graft us into himself. For us to bear fruit, to bear much fruit, and the joy of the Lord is in us. Last week, when Rick and Carl were talking about the seeds and such, Rick had just, during a sermon, during a teaching, just said, abide in me. And that was the word that's coming forth this morning. And for the definitions, it's to await, to endure without yielding, to withstand, to bear patiently, to tolerate, to accept without objection. And for me, that's been an issue with me. I don't accept what's happening in my life. Realizing it's the Lord working on me for patience. And I just want to, that's a big one. To remain stable and fixed and to continue in a place. So we're abiding the Lord. Okay, well, can you go down to the next, that scripture, the following one? It says, abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in a safeguard. And this is David, King David, talking about Saul was pursuing him for his life. And this was, so, unsaved, or you can abide in darkness, being unsaved, or when you hear the word, you have a choice of abiding in, continuing in the darkness, and it's just death. And you can have all those things about abiding. You can stay there patiently. You can accept that without objection. And for an addict, if that's all that's for life, right? They might be put in that position of that's all. So you're going to continue in that state. You may see the light of Christ, and then you have a decision to make. It's a dividing to abide in his kingdom, to abide in his life. And that's the struggle. There's always been a struggle. And when you talk about the cross, there it is. The dividing line between the darkness and the newness we have in Christ. But you can abide in either one. Okay, Carol, next one. We were once in darkness. The light of Christ comes in. Either abide in the darkness or venture out to abide. The next. Next one down. Yep, this is Jesus saying, I am come a light into the world that whoever shall believe on me shall not abide in darkness. The next one down, Carol. And that's Jesus being the light, the birth of Christ, the light that came into the world. That's who he is. At that time, all humanity, and still has the option of receiving Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. The light had shined into the darkness. We no longer have to abide in the darkness. Okay, Carol? Abide in me and I in you, and as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it bear on the vine, no more can you expect me. So abide in me. So I just want to do the pictures. Okay, Carol? This is the bud. Right there. Can't live without itself. Can't produce unless it's in a vine. Each of us are represented by that bud. We've been ingrafted into the Spirit of the Lord, into the family of the Lord. Okay? Next one, Carol. Oh. Yep. Okay. I'll go back to the scripture. And Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you cannot do anything. So when Bill was talking about the containers, isn't that the choice, Bill? You've heard the prompting. The manifestation of his abundance is coming towards you. You can't do this on your own, only through him. Okay, Carol, the picture. So that little bud, the little dream, that little prophecy he gave you of the ministry is growing. It's living. He's still in the vine. Jesus is asking us to abide in him, in him and us. Through that, all the nutrients come. The word of God, our daily bread, right? The Spirit of God, the anointing of God, all comes through Jesus. And we are that branch in the vine. Okay, Carol? And we're not the only ones. There's Kenny, there's Lori, there's Sam, there's Sue, there's Barbara, there's Carol. Oh, I think Richard's right over there. And in our American society, we're cowboys. We do things on our own. We're independent. We're not mindless sheep. I do it on my own type of mentality. Eastern civilizations, I was impressed with India, it's family. So for them, and to see the revelation of agriculture as a vine, I think it comes more to them. But Christianity isn't dictated or molded by our society. It transcends that. So can you imagine, because this is all, you see what's happening within the body and what was brought up last week. This is a season, okay? The Lord is speaking, and many bodies are hearing the word. We're in unison for that. But you think, oh, I'm not like Kenny or Barbara or Aaron, but we're engrafted in that vine, and the Spirit of the Lord is flowing. And he's nurturing the buds and the branches. We can't do any of this stuff on our own. If I decided right now to jump out and do a rock concert for praising Jesus, I know 100% I'm going to fail, because I'm going to think what I'm doing is right, and it's not. I don't have that leading. Bill, on the other hand, is getting materials for container. They're shrink wrapping it. The Spirit of the Lord is touching on someone, and right now he's just a bud. Like, how am I going to do this? I'm going to need you, Lord. Okay, Carol. Ta-da! Spirit of the Lord now continues to grow within us. We're starting to flower. We're still tender. We're flowing. The Spirit of the Lord's in us. We're abiding in him. He's preparing us. Next one, Carol. Once again, we saw a single bud, single flower, single vine. God is the husbandman. There's a whole plantation. And after this, there's more plantations. But he has us strategically placed. Here you can't see it. These are the root systems of the vines. There's nothing there except dirt. There is no competing grass. There's no weeds. It's the pure place of the Lord. I saw that in England. The world's oldest vine and the whole area around it. They go every day picking out shoots of weeds because they know if there's any competition, it would be taking the nutrients away from the vine. Same thing here. The Word of God. The ground, the hearts are tilled. There's nothing else there. Should we allow that? And that's the regenerating of our mind. Keeping our hearts softened to the Lord. When we come against oppositions, when we get hurt, do we just crunch back in and allow the weeds of the world into our walk with the Lord to drown it out? The choice is ours. But the Lord is the husbandman. He takes care of the vines. The vines are on the post with the wires, and we found out this last year when we worked on the farm. The pruning goes by, and that's a whole other sermon. But you can see the vines, row after row, growing. This one is growing, the ones further back are not along. God's season, God's timing. And if we abide in him and him in us, his will is accomplished, not ours. Okay, Carol? We're going to skip that one. Because that's not fitting today. That's the fruit of our lives. That's the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ through our lives. That we surrendered to him. You can still see the vine, the branches, and the fruit. And what happens to that fruit isn't about us. We're the ones that were faithful in our stage of life and our walk with the Lord. That he was allowed, we allowed him access to our hearts. We're the ones that were due diligent in seeking him out. Jesus came as a pattern for those who would follow. So how does this happen? How does the fruit happen on the vine? Well, you can see physically, you can see the vine. But Jesus was the pattern. And what did he do? He prayed. He prayed to the Father. He fasted. That's how that communication with the Lord is. That's how that holy connection is. And why Jesus came is that he was a physical representation of God. A lot of people think God's a spirit. He's out there. The Holy Spirit's not a name, right? It's just, it's out there. But people saw Jesus. They touched Jesus. Jesus touched his life. He lit his life as that vine. He did everything. He allowed the Father to abide in him. That's who he was. And him and the Father, so the world would know that they're one. What a beautiful example of seeing a vine and equating it to a man. And spiritually saying, spiritually, is it's the connection of abiding spiritually in prayer and in fasting. Hope. Carol, do I have anything else after that? That's it? Okay. Now, this is very similar to the first picture of the cross. And this is personal because it came from Carol's mom to me. Because I put the family through a rough time of coming to Christ. And Carol's mother has always been in the church. There were deacons. And they have faith. But when I walked into the family, wow. It was a test of their faith. So after not all these years, this is what Christ did. I'll pass around, it's forgiven. So the difference is where this person is clinging on to the cross, Jesus is clinging on to the person and to let them know they're forgiven. And when we go from that abiding in the darkness, because we're comfortable and we're going to stay there, we don't know Christ, Christ comes in. That's that division of light and darkness. Then we want to abide in Him. It's something that we have to do, right? The simplicity is that Jesus did it for us a long time ago. That's His gift, Gary, to mankind. And the enemy still wants to have us confused to abide in the lies that he has spouted against man and against God since the fall. That we are forgiven. And Jesus is holding us up. Will we not accept that? Will we not embrace Jesus as in this picture? In desperation, we cling to everything. But on the opposite end of that is Jesus is clinging to us. Would we not just reciprocate and open up our arms to receive His love and His forgiveness? I just want to end with this, the scripture, Luke 7. It's the testimony of Jesus forgetting a sinful woman. It's when the Pharisees invited Jesus into their home, and the woman was at Jesus' feet crying and wiping his feet off with his tears, with her tears. And the Pharisee says that if he was such a prophet, he would know that she was a sinner. And then Jesus asked these very, very pertinent questions. He goes, there was a certain creditor that had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And the question is this morning is, do we value the debt that was forgiven for our lives? Can we even ascertain what it was? And to me, I mean, the Lord always has me somber for these things because it brings me back to the remembrance of that day. And as I get older, I start having a deeper revelation of how sinful I was, where I was going, and there was no debt I could pay. I can't pay that. I couldn't pay it. I can't even pay off my debts that I incur in the real world, never mind eternal gifts. And that's why that painting is so important, because the scripture says he frankly forgave them both. Jesus frankly forgave every person that was, that will ever be, and whoever come into the world. That his sacrifice on the cross paid the debt. Paid the debt. And it says, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say to thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Aaron, your songs were wonderful. That's a scripture, just a summarization of what you were saying, our love for Christ. And this definitely is not a message of condemnation. This is a message that we come into knowledge of who we were, not to go back, but to be thankful for the forgiveness that He's put back in our lives, how He's restored us, how He keeps on mentioning and keeps on wanting to let us know, despite what we think and how we continue our lives, that He loves us. He died for us because He sees the value of each and every life. Not only your life, but the lives that you touch. The fruit that our lives will bear. And right now, this is one vine of many in God's kingdom that His Spirit is flowing through. Just one. That after years, for some of us, of the Lord trying to get to us how much I love you, we're receiving. And that love blossoms out. It's not me, Lord. I can't ever do this. But I've trusted you, and you put me here on that vine, and I'm growing. I'm growing. I'm abiding in you. I'm not going anywhere. And He's just, more is coming. And we grow. We branch out. We bear fruit. And next season, that's another season. But for right now, I would just encourage all of us, individually and collectively, review what's happened in your life. Spiritually, what's the Lord prompting you to do? Why is He connecting with you? Is He asking you to let it go? Just let it go. Because I have it, says the Lord. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. He has it. You brought your prayers and petition to me. I've heard them. It's His season and it's His time. But He's doing something wonderful for the body because He loves the whole world. There's people out there in danger of perishing. And He's sending us out to meet them. And He wants to let us know that He loves them, that He does not want them to perish. It's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He has that. We're in that vine. We're in that pipeline. We have the advantages of knowing Christ. We have the advantages of testing Christ. We have those times of reflection and prayer like, Lord, really me? And I don't know about for you. When I ask those questions of Him, He lets me know, yes, you. Yes, you. And I could whine, but I'm not ready. And He lets me do that. But He keeps on reminding me it's Him. If it's a phone call to a neighbor, our own children, just to let them know that they're loved. And a lot of times it doesn't have to be super big things because you saw that little bud, went to a little couple greenery, bigger greenery, and bang, there's fruit because it happens. But this is such an exciting time. When Carl and the group from New York came, when you're with fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, it just flows. Didn't have to know some of the people's names, but it was the same spirit. It flowed. They're doing the same thing we're doing. Oh, what a coincidence. No, because Carl came from this vine. He attended this body. So he's cut up, transplanted, engrafted someplace else. It's the same spirit. And for all those people that we're going to meet, for the other bodies of Christ that are getting together today, I'm sure there's a message going through. It's not only spring. It is spring. We've been dormant for a reason. The winter's over. Right? Winter is over. We're springing forth. And if we do it in God's timing and on His strength and His anointing, the harvest is going to be bountiful. And it is bountiful. And that's the message. It's just abide in Him and see.
I went down to use the bathroom before I said the message, and I think about this verse. It's John 15:7. You abide in me, and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And when you were talking about showing vines growing into the soil, the word is that soil. That's true of us, that's true.
Lord, the Spirit that comes through. And that happens, we seek Him. We know what His Word says. We believe what His Word says. We apply what His Word says. And we expect the manifestations to happen. And that's abiding. Patiently wait, not be easily moved. Well, that is the message. You okay? Everyone? You okay? You're more than okay. Would you like to end this in a song? Praise and worship? No. I would like to thank the Lord for Aaron and Angie. We don't have the frequent opportunities to worship together, but when we do, is seems to be more intimate. He stretches us, but in all the times He has stretched us, there's a comfort level that the Lord establishes. Like there's no anxiety of being stretched. It's just okay. And I release myself to You, Lord. I want to abide in You and see what happens. So I want to thank You for the words that You spoke. Thank You for the change-up that You did, especially to Jesus, we love You. That's just, I think that's our heart's cry this morning.
I didn't plan that last one.
No kidding.
It just kind of came out.
That's the wonderful thing about abiding. We let the Lord lead us. Okay? Thank You.
Safest place that I have ever known. Won't You take me to Your secret garden? Plant me there in a place that I can fully grow in Your love. In Your love. Salvation belongs to the Most High. Resurrection comes by the power of His Word. My redemption through His holy sacrifice bought my soul out of hell by the blood of the Lord. Unto You, Lord, all my soul surrenders. Oh, the safest place have ever known. Won't You take me to Your secret garden? Find me there in a place that I can fully grow in Your love. We shall listen for the trumpet sounding. On that day there shall be the second coming of the Lord. All believers taken in a moment, all caught up in the cloud of His Majesty's return. To You, Lord, all my soul surrenders. You're the safest place that I have ever known. Won't You take me to Your secret garden? Plant me there in a place that I can fully grow. Unto You, Lord, all my soul surrenders. You're the safest place that I have ever known. Won't You take me to Your secret garden? Plant me there in a place that I can fully grow. To You, Lord, all my soul surrenders. You're the safest place that I have ever known. Won't You take me to Your secret garden? Let me there in a place that I can fully grow in Your love.
rejoice in your word, and rejoice in all you've done for us and will do for us. And Father, I continuously thank you, thankful that you came down from heaven and bore the penalty for our sin on yourself. You give us the words to speak to those who need it as we go about our week. I pray that you make us a blessing for those around us. Let us always speak blessing, for you said that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Let it always be good fruit, Father.